Surviving Life with the Vambillies is about a Christian perspective on everyday challenges surrounding work, family, and marriage.
The aim of this program is to equip you through the use of scripture with the right survival tools for life and all that it brings. And so today, we're going to talk a little bit more about family. We've kind of been talking about family for the last couple of weeks. What family topic are we talking about today, Danny?
Right, so today we're going into knowing your family history. You know, this one is quite complex because we're living in modern times where families are very separated. You know, it's not like in the past where you grew up in Klerksdorp and your whole life you've been there and you know the neighbor, and the neighbor is Danny Huhu or auntie, you know, that has raised everybody up.
Yeah.
We're growing in times where people have gone from certain villages or small towns to big cities. And you get there in the city, you know you've got family, but you've not been raised together.
Yeah.
So a lot of you don't even know the behaviors of your uncles and your aunties. Then we still have families where the children are separated from parents, you know, and then families that don't even talk to each other. So you've got parents, maybe a father, a mother that you've never met, or you were raised by your grandparents, you know. Then we still have people who've migrated from country to country.
Yeah.
You know, so you can be living in France, but your family comes from the Congo, or you someone from South Africa, in New Zealand or Australia, and you just do not know the details of your family. Mm-hmm. Now, what's important about this? A lot of us are dealing with pharaohs in our families. And what I mean by that is, there are strongholds that are operating in your life that you know is there or you are experiencing, but you've not even connected that this is a stronghold that runs in your family. You know, and when we're talking about this, the Lord actually took me back to Moses. Moses and Pharaoh were brothers. They knew each other. They grew up together. Literally, the two of them could have sat down. Moses could have said, hey, look, God is saying this, my brother. And the brother could have said, okay, why don't you take half of them? Take half of them, go build your kingdom, wherever God is telling you. And it could have ended there. But no, Pharaoh wanted to continue a certain family tradition, you know. These are pharaohs. They were considered gods.
Mm-hmm.
So he wanted what was there to be established in the way the family knew it to be.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what Moses was asking for was literally a disruption of the family line.
Mm-hmm.
It was a disruption of free labor, where these guys knew, we've been doing this for years. The slaves, we don't pay them. It's for centuries.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you coming with these new ideas, you want to go and do something different. So you see, physically speaking, Moses had to literally pray to a point where God sent plagues after plague after plague.
Mm-hmm.
And it did not work until the first sons of every one, of every Egyptian in the kingdom died. Only then Pharaoh said, you can leave, but still, later decided, where are you guys going? Gathered his family, went to fetch them back. And as you know, the Lord then caused the Red Sea to fall on them. But I'm asking you today, what is chasing you in your family bloodline? What don't you know? Like, some of you, your things just fail. And you're just thinking, oh, people get it easy in life. But for me, you know, I just fail. Maybe it's alcohol. Oh, you know, I just struggle. I can't do this without alcohol. Some of you, it's children everywhere. You are impregnating children, other people's daughters everywhere, and you think it's just you, but go look and you might find that that's the thing that happens in your family. Mm-hmm. Or you're a woman, and whenever you're about to get married, things just fall apart. Mm-hmm. And you've got children by different men, and when you look in your household, that's just how it is. Mm-hmm. And you now think it's normal. Mm-hmm. And you even say, ah, you know how things are mm-hmm. in this family. Mm-hmm. No one prospers. You know how business is hard. No. Mm-hmm. There are people who do business and it succeeds. And it goes well without any issues. So if you don't know your family bloodline, sometimes when you're fighting strongholds, and you must remember, scripture also speaks about a strong man. Mm. That there are issues that if you don't subdue the strong man, the strong man is normally a spirit that has authority. Maybe those sacrifices made in the generations before you. Maybe your parent killed somebody and a curse was spoken. And remember, scripture speaks about curses sticking if there is a cause. So let's say you did something and you harmed people and they now spoke something over that generation. And maybe they just said your family maybe stole a business, they did things shrewdly, mm-hmm. and people went and consulted a witch doctor and just said, may everything that family does end like what they did in our family. Now you're going in. The things you're trying to do are failing, but you don't know your family history enough to know what strong man is operating. Now, you'll find, just like Moses had to go armed, you know, God gave him a stick. The stick turned into a snake. Pharaoh said, hey, my guys, turn your sticks into snakes as well. And theirs also became snakes. Sometimes we read that not realizing what we're reading. I mean, in today's time, Letitia, mm-hmm. I come with a stick and it becomes a snake. Man, the church will throw me out. I would be a heretic. They would say this guy is a witch doctor.
Yeah.
But now, how much worse is it that these guys came with their sticks as well and all the sticks turned into snakes? At that point, in the suburbs of Pretoria, we would close down the church. And then the snakes start fighting and the big snake swallows the other snakes.
Oh, wow.
I mean, that's some hectic stuff. Some of you, while you're praying, there are rituals being done against you. While you are taking time to consult the Lord, there are strongholds that are also saying, no, you're not just breaking free. Mm-hmm. You're not just going to get married. You're not just going to break out of poverty. You're not just going to have stability in your life.
Mm.
So, and when you look at the plagues, the intensity increased. Sure. The more freedom they wanted, the more the enemy fought.
Mm.
The more the Pharaoh fought.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know what Pharaoh is fighting you.
Mm.
And you need to reach a point where you realize, I am fighting something. Mm. Things don't just fall apart.
Mm.
And there are people and families where, you know, I once heard it being referred to as a javelin spirit, where there's just a stick that's thrown to you, poop, with a string that pulls you back.
Mm-hmm.
You can all progress to a certain point, but not beyond that.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to break free, sometimes you need to know where you are coming from, what has happened before you. And this thing is not just proven through scripture, where there's repetition with David and Solomon and all that. No, no, no.
Mm-hmm.
Psychologists have done studies where they found the same sins or crimes repeating in the bloodlines, in the second generation, in the third generation.
Mm-hmm.
So you can pray all you want. You can pretend like the reality, you know. A lot of you are out there quoting, no weapons formed against me shall prosper. Why have they prospered? You can see they've prospered, but you're just quoting out of, you know, I don't know what to call it, sensationalism or what. But there comes a time when you must face your reality and see that the family, the family strongholds are not letting you go. And you have to fight. You have to fight. You have to ask God for those plagues. You have to ask God, what do I need to do? Do I need to go into a 21-day fast while praying? Or a 40-day fast while praying? You have to break through beyond what the former generation has done.
When we speak of the Pharaohs in your family, the Pharaohs in your bloodline, we also need to ask ourselves, which bloodline is speaking here? Okay, because we need to look at Ezekiel 18, all of Ezekiel 18, that speaks of a coming time when the children, the parents will not eat the grapes and the children will say their teeth have been set on edge.
Yes.
And all of Ezekiel 18 essentially speaks about the coming covenant, which is ours, that it won't follow you if you don't do it, right? That's essentially all of Ezekiel 18. If your father did something bad, he will pay for it. If you come from him and you do something good, you won't have to. You will get the rewards of heaven. But if you do what he did, then you will reap what he reaped.
Yes.
So now there are certain things in families that specifically target that family.
Yes.
And you see the pathology of how it has gone from your cousins to your uncles. And instead of accepting it and say, oh, this is just us, you begin to realize that the Lord has called you to be the breaker. There's a scripture in the Bible that says, I have called you to be a breaker and the repairer of fallen walls, the repairer of broken cities. And in that scripture, it's not speaking about Jesus. It's speaking about us being called as the people who will break through covenant with Jesus Christ, some of the strong men in our families. Because when you are called, and that's what's so important about knowing your family history, some of us are called to break those things for future generations. Some of us are reaping the benefits of somebody in the previous generation breaking for us. How many times do we see in scripture God favoring people because of David?
Yes.
How many, 800 years later, the Lord will say, To honor my covenant with David, I will kill all these soldiers in the middle of the night for you. And it's got nothing to do with you. It's not about how you walked that morning or how you woke up that morning, but it's about the covenant that the Lord created with somebody in the bloodline. Are you called to be that person to stand in the gap for your family and say, you know what, this particular thing I'm seeing in my family, it ends right here. And I think what's so important about some of the things going on in our families is that there can be a stronghold assigned to your family that doesn't affect someone else that way. So, for example, there can be a porn addiction that has the family in a chokehold, but not drinking. You can even go out and take shots. You will never get as drunk as the other person or as belligerent as the other person. So alcohol is not your stumbling block. That's not for you. But your stumbling block is maybe gossip. Your stumbling block is maybe fallen relationships and fallen covenant relationships, etc. Once you begin to pick up those things, what do you now do about it by way of submitting it to God? Because you can't get in a time machine and go back and change everything that was done before. But the Lord brings to cognizance through spiritual revelation and awareness. And God will give you the words that this ends here. And we kind of see it with Ruth and Naomi. So Ruth joined a covenant where Naomi also had premature death with her husband. Yeah. And then Ruth loses her husband. But something had to happen with Boaz. Something had to happen with the leading there, where Ruth had to know the decisions to make. Now, you may not know what's happening in your family, and you don't have to, but you need to know God. Because he will lead you in a way that speaks of the bloodline of Christ, because we have been adopted into a whole brand new heritage. And once you're adopted into the bloodline of Christ, it is the blood of Christ that speaks better things than the blood of Abel. It's only the blood of Christ that speaks better things. So if you're still reaping from your family's bloodline, then you're not reaping better things. You have to be within the bloodline of Christ so that every good thing in Christ is available to you, even from that family. Because how many of us know that there are actually generational blessings? We are so caught up on generational curses that we don't even know that there's more generational blessings than there are curses. The generational blessings go to further generations than the generational curses. And a lot of us never even break into that, because once we come into Christ Jesus, then every good thing in that bloodline and more of Christ comes to us, right? You've got Jacob and Joseph, for example, and I think about this very often. What happened between Jacob and Esau was an issue of favoritism between the parents. Yeah. One parent favored this twin, the other parent favored the other twin. And eventually it led to this whole lie of the wolf, the goat clothing, you know, Isaac giving the blessing to Jacob, etc. And it's so interesting that Jacob never thought and said, you know what, let me not single out a favorite as well. Based on what happened to me, and I had to have the hip thing happen with the Lord and my issues with Esau that led all the way up to their death, really. Let me not do that to my children. Oh, no, no. Jacob goes and publicly favors Moses. Joseph.
Yeah.
Favors Joseph. And that favoritism brings jealousy from the brothers, because he was getting the coat of many colors. And I remembered reading this thinking, but this favoritism thing is not doing anyone any favors. And then even after Joseph is supposedly dead, Benjamin becomes the favorite. I'm like, Jacob, the favoritism is not working. The favoritism keeps coming back and coming back and coming back. And so we are repeating things without knowing that the issues that we're facing, some of the strongholds that we're facing, is because we keep coming back to the same issues under the sun. And I always say, when Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes, right? He was far from the Lord at that point. In the end, he comes back. But much of it is about him just realizing the frivolity of being away from God. He says there's nothing new under the sun. And I always say there's nothing new under the sun if you're unsubmitted, because God is constantly doing a new thing. And so it's the enemy's thing to keep repeating cycles. And we all kind of sit here and we just accept, no, we have diabetes. That's our thing. We have diabetes. But if you know that diabetes runs in the family, if you know that hypertension runs in the family, what do you then do about it?
Yes.
Because prayer activates us to do. So if I say to you that, no, in your families, bee stings. Bee stings, deadly. You puff up, you die, anaphylactic shock immediately. You're going to stay away from bees.
Yes.
Or you're going to be very sure that God has delivered you guys from bee stings before you go through that thing. But it's like with us, we're told, oh, there's sugar in your family, and that's all you ever eat. There's hypertension in your family. Oh, you love them salty foods, and you're super stressed. Your schedule is unreal, you know. And these things keep coming back and coming back and coming back. And it's about time we started dealing with some of our pharaohs through the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
You know, there's that person in your family where you are trying to fight this thing with all your might. I'm going to get us out of poverty, so I'm going to be successful. You know, I'm going to go everywhere.
Man,
I'm going to do everything.
Getting debt.
You know?
Getting debt while you are getting the family ahead.
Yes.
This person gets debt. You come and bail them out. And you don't see that, through them, you're being kept back.
Exactly. And sometimes the Lord will show you that, hey, Tish, you're walking into this thing your family has done. Do not do it. And the Lord does do it a lot of times, where you're walking and you think you're walking right because you're being led by, I don't know, anything. Maybe something went wrong and your emotions are just not there and you want to leave that job, right? We have an example from years ago of somebody who left a job because they felt it was emotionally taxing for them. But God had actually positioned them in that place, and they were being fought from the promotion that God wanted for them in that place. And when they left that place, things did not go right. And it was years later that they came back to us and said, it was leaving that job. The Lord actually wanted me there. But now when they looked at their bloodline, they saw that there was this unfulfillment at work that just went everywhere. No matter how successful they were, and they are very successful, there was always this feeling that something was missing.
Yeah.
And it's the enemy stealing. Because Satan is not more powerful than God.
No.
He is not.
No.
So a lot of the times, the grace of God will make it happen. Oh, if no one got married in your family, you're about to get married. If they're not having children in your family, you're gonna have children because you've come into the bloodline. So what does the enemy do? He takes away the joy.
Yes.
If you can have that thing, if you're the breaker, if you've done it, if you've finally broken the glass ceiling of your family's history, now you can't enjoy it.
Yeah. there's a fight happening, guys. There's a fight. And if you're not first aware of what you're fighting, you're in a disadvantage.
Mm-hmm.
We've told many people, once you're saved, everything is fine with you. But the reality is it doesn't work that way. There are things that have rights that you will have to dismantle through the leading of the Holy Spirit. And then there are still areas where the enemy knows. I mean, not areas. There is no way in any area in your life that the enemy can defeat God. But once God blesses you with it, the enemy still knows how to work your family. He knows you guys are hot-tempered. When you're hot-tempered, you just leave it. So it's going to get you to that place so you abort your mission. Or maybe he knows under pressure, you guys fall, you go back to the bottle. So he's aiming to get you under pressure so you'll fall back to the bottle. Or on drugs, you know. And if we are not armed with the information that shows us, hey, look, we are the family that must stay away from alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
Or we are the family that ends up breaking up good relationships.
Mm-hmm.
You then will fall into the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So in closing, know your pharaohs and let God lead you in fighting your pharaohs.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go blindly.
Mm-hmm.
Don't cross your arms and say, this is just how it is.
Mm-hmm.
Let's eat this last piece of bread and die. But instead, let God lead you guys.
Mm.
And guys, be prepared to fight. You don't just disarm the enemy without a fight.
Mm-hmm.
Any last words from you?
It's the Lord that leads people out of Egypt. It is the Lord that gives you the Holy Spirit that then gives you the power to declare over your family the goodness of Christ and all the blessings that he has got in store for you. And with that, we leave you and we'll see you next week on another episode of Surviving Life with the Vambilis.
Thank you for joining us on Surviving Life with the Vambilis.
Remember that you can join us every Tuesday at 6 p.m. to hear the entirety of the show, 30 minutes uninterrupted.
And tomorrow from 11 to 1 p.m., you can tune in for our discussions where we get to hear from you and discuss the topic further.
You can WhatsApp us during the live show using 071-364-0376 so that we can hear your opinions, your thoughts, and of course your experiences, and play your voice notes live on air.
And on social media, you can also get us on IG under Impact 103 to be exact. You can also find us on Facebook on Impact Live.
And our personal pages, Surviving Life with the Vambilis, you can just type in at the Vambilis and join all our discussions there as well.
We look forward to having these discussions with you on a weekly basis. Myself, Danny Vambili, and with my lovely wife,
Letitia Vambili. This is us signing off. Until next week.
Goodbye.